I won't tell Brother Randy. I don't know if he's in here, but Miss Jennifer, you tell him since he ain't up here. I appreciate all he does. You don't know what burden he takes off a pastor to take that underway and to take people, you know, and I know people are out and people have circumstances they can't be here. What a joy it is for him to handle that for us. We ought not take that lightly, what people do in this church, things that are unseen, things that we don't even know about. But God is so impressed in their heart that they'd be a servant of God no matter what came up, no matter what happened. They just do what the Lord told them to do. I like serving Christ with people like that. People that are just there, that's doing their job, knowing their part, and functioning within the body of Christ. Let me tell you, God has set the members that have pleased Him. He has put everybody in their own place. And let me tell you, each person in here has their own part. They have their own function. They have their own job. You say, well, my function don't really matter that much. Let me tell you, your function is very important. You see, without your elbow, you can never get a bite. Without your knee, you can never walk. And I don't know what part of the body you are, but let me tell you, it is important. Don't let anybody ever tell you any different than that. Thank God for people that's serving Christ. If you have your Bible this morning, find the book of Psalm, chapter number 23. The book of Psalm, chapter number 23. Today I want to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's heard several times, and many of you have heard it before. Hopefully I can shed new light on it with the Lord's help. Let us pray this morning before we get started. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your grace and your mercy about us. Lord, I thank you for your good hand, Lord, about us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the unseen hand, Lord, that people may not see you, Lord, but on the inside I can feel, Lord. Lord, I thank you for a good church, Lord, a good pastor. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for these good people, Lord. I thank you for a great Christ, Lord, who died for the sheep, Lord. I thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. I thank you for my pastor, Lord. I thank you for the news, Lord, of his still saving old sinners, Lord, and he's calling young men to preach, Lord. Lord, I want to pray right now for my brother that'll preach here tonight. Lord, Brother Luke, Lord, would you help him? Lord, would you thrill him with the Word of God? Lord, I thank you for all you're going to do. Lord, help us in this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to read a real familiar passage of Scripture. But before I read it, I want you to know this. Psalm chapter number 22, 23, and 24 are all meant to be read together. You see, in Psalm chapter number 22, you'll find that he's the good shepherd. He's the one that was hung on Calvary's cross. He was the one that gave himself for our sins. You'll find in Psalm 22 that when he could have got off that cross, he stayed on it for the likes of me and you. For sinners such as I, he stayed on the cross, and you'll find he's the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse number 11 said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In Psalm chapter number 23, you'll find he's the great shepherd. Hebrews said it like this. Hebrews 13, verse 20 said, Now the God of all the peace that brought again the dead from our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In Psalm chapter number 24, you'll find him as the chief shepherd. The book of 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 4 says it this way. It said, And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You see, when the psalmist David was laying out these psalms, he meant for these psalms to be read together. So you could look back on the past and in Psalm 22, look onto the present in Psalm 23, and then look to the future in Psalm 24. You'll find in Psalm 24 that he's the King of Glory. This one is coming back to reign on this earth. And who is the King of Glory? He's the Lord of Hosts. You'll find in Psalm 22, it's the cross. You'll see the cross of the shepherd. In Psalm chapter 23, you'll see the crook of the shepherd with his staff. And in Psalm 24, you'll see him crowning of the shepherd when he is the king. And in Psalm chapter 22, you'll find him as Savior. In Psalm chapter number 23, you'll find him as the shepherd. And in Psalm chapter 24, you'll see him as the sovereign when he's coming back to rule and reign on this earth, when he's coming back on his white horse, and he's going to turn this thing around. See, this world thinks they've got him fooled, but let me tell you, one day he's going to step out and and he's going to call his children away, and there he's going to reign with a rod of iron. And let me tell you, he's going to reign this and rule and reign on this earth like it never has seen before. In Psalm chapter number 22, you'll see he give his life for the sheep. In Psalm chapter number 23, you'll see he gives his love for the sheep. In Psalm chapter 24, he gives his light for the sheep until when he will appear. And with that, I want us to read Psalm chapter number 23, starting in verse number 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I heard an old man say that, you know, if you're young, not even attempt to cover Psalm 23. Let me tell you, it's in the Bible. And I wouldn't even be up here standing up here thinking that I knew anything about Psalm 23 except for God to lay something on my heart and put it so deep inside of me. And I entitled this, "The Shepherd of My Soul." Let me tell you here this morning, you've got a great shepherd. You've got a good shepherd. You've got a chief shepherd. And I tell you, we wouldn't be standing here today without the shepherd. You see, the shepherd knows all about the sheep. And when the sheep care nothing about the shepherd, let me tell you what that shepherd's doing. He's still overlooking those sheep. He's still watching for those sheep. He's still caring for those sheep. He's still caring to them. He's still patting on them. And he's doing everything he can to make things clear for the sheep. You may not think much about the shepherd, but let me tell you, the shepherd is always thinking about the sheep. I want to look at this, what the psalmist David said here in Psalm 23, and give you four quick things, and hopefully it'll help you. I want you to see, first of all, you'll see the shepherd in his view. If you look down in verse number 1, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Let me tell you, the shepherd in his view was personal. You see, this was not a psalm but for the church. It was a psalm that was meant to be more personal than just the church to the great shepherd. Let me tell you, it was a personal psalm to David. It was where he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He showed possession. You see, I'm here to tell you, we all know when we got saved, the Lord became resident in our heart. And when we got saved, let me tell you what it did. The chief shepherd himself came and abided in you through the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you what, it's far greater than that. Let me tell you, it shows possession. It shows ownership. It goes more deeper than what we ever thought. He said, "He was my shepherd. He was my shepherd." And with that, he put his brand on him. When you got saved, let me tell you what God did. He put a brand on you. You see, I've been reading a book about the sheep. And the sheep, you know what they do when they sell the sheep to another herdsman? They take it and they put his ear down on a block of wood, that sheep, and they put a stamp through the lobe of his ear, and that would let change the ownership of that sheep. Let me tell you, when you was out serving the world and you was out not serving Christ, let me tell you what happened. When God saved you, you know what he did? He put your little earlobe down, and he come down and he stamped you and said, I'm his and he is mine. Thank God that the shepherd gave the life for his sheep. Thank God that we have a good shepherd. And from his viewpoint, it was a personal possession. You see, you're not here because some preacher, you say, well, I've heard this a lot. Somebody say the preacher, you know, that I got saved under, he went the wrong way and he's out in the world now. But let me tell you, the preacher didn't have anything to do with it. Let me tell you who had something to do with you getting saved. It was the great shepherd. You're not here because of some preacher. You're not here because of some teacher. But let me tell you who I'm here for. I'm here for my shepherd. And he's sitting on high. He's not on the cross anymore, but he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And let me tell you what he's doing. He's making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And thank God we have a shepherd that knows the life of the sheep. And let me tell you this. Not only does he know the life of the sheep, he became a sheep. You see, the book of Isaiah, chapter number 53, said he was a sheep before a shearer was dumb, and as a lamb brought to the slaughter. The book of Revelation said he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, before there was ever a me and you. Let me tell you what there was. There was a shepherd. And let me tell you, that song that they sing that says they searched through heaven to find a Savior, let me tell you, they didn't have to search. because it was already ordained. It wasn't a plan B. It was plan A from the get-go. He was going to the cross, and he was doing it because he loved you and me. And it wasn't about to come down because he had some possessions that he was going to get later on. And those possessions are all sitting throughout this building today. Thank God for the shepherd. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." You see, you can't read this psalm without, and it be for you and do something for you until it becomes personal. You see, before I got saved, there ain't no telling how many times I sat in a funeral and somebody would get up and read this verse and say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You know what it, I'd say, "Don't mean nothing to me." But let me tell you, when I got saved and the Holy Ghost dwelt inside my body, when somebody said, "The Lord is my shepherd," I'd sit back and I'd reflect. I'd say, "He is my shepherd." And let me tell you, He gave His life to the sheep. The shepherd in His view was a personal possession. Not only do you see it was a personal possession, you'll see it was His presence of the shepherd. You see, in His view, He always knew where the presence of the shepherd was. Look in verse number 2. He said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Let me tell you what the psalmist David was saying there. He said he's my shepherd because of His presence. Let me tell you what the shepherd does. He doesn't desert the sheep. The shepherd's always with the sheep. He said David knew all about the sheep. You remember when David was called by Samuel over in 1 Samuel? He was tending the flock of the sheep. And then, you know, we all know the story. Samuel came to Jesse's house and he passed through. David had 7 brothers. And he passed down that line. He went through Eliab. He went through Shammah. He went through Abinadab. And they said, "This can't be it." And old David was out there tending the flock of the sheep. And David is relating what his personal job was to do back to us, telling how he used to protect the sheep. And he's relating it back to his shepherd. And David is the sheep now. And he realizes he's got a shepherd sitting at the right hand of the Father. You'll see His presence. You see, this is what the book of John says. It says in John chapter 10, verse number 27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Let me tell you, there's nobody that can get you out of this thing. If you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. Let me tell you, it does matter how you live this thing and how you finish this thing. But let me tell you, there's nothing you can do to get out of this thing. Let me tell you, once you've got saved, the security of the believer we're in. There's no man can pluck you out of this thing. No man, no power of a hell, no scheme of man can pluck me out of my Father's hand this morning. Thank God the devil himself can't get us out. That ought to make some of you shout that nobody can get you out of this thing. You see, the devil didn't put me in this thing. My mom and my daddy didn't put me in this thing. They didn't, no preacher put me in this thing. But let me tell you who put me in this thing. It was the chief shepherd himself. He chose me out. He bought me out. He got me out. One of these days he's going to take me out of this thing because he loved me, because of his presence. Thank God we have the presence of the shepherd. There's nothing like going to church where you got the presence of the shepherd. You see, it all concerns me when the presence of the shepherd's not here. It makes me feel weird when he's not here, if I can just say it like that. I want to say this also while I'm here. Let me tell you this, and I've read this a lot. David didn't have to merit. David here said, David is a young man, they believe, when he wrote this Psalm 23. They think he wrote it before he even became the king of Israel, before he was even anointed to become king. Let me tell you what. David said he could look down and he could see, when I was out there tending my flock and I was out there by myself and I was on the backside and there was nobody around me, guess who was there? The shepherd was there. And you can take great, great comfort in that today, to know that the shepherd is with you. The Bible said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. There's been times people have left me all alone. There's been times when my mama couldn't help me, my daddy couldn't help me, and God sometimes would send people to help me, but let me tell you who helped me the most. It was the presence of the shepherd. You see, Brother Mike was preaching here Wednesday night about the voice of the shepherd. And it brought me, when he was preaching that message here Wednesday night, I couldn't help but to think what old Elijah was doing there. We thought he was in the fire, but he wasn't. They thought he was in the wind, but he wasn't in the wind. They thought he was in the earthquake, but he wasn't in the earthquake. They thought he was in the fire, but he wasn't in the fire. You know what he was in? He was in that still, small voice. He was listening for the Savior. And he was listening because he was close to the presence of God. David knew himself. He tried to keep himself close to the shepherd so he could sense his presence. I challenge you today, this morning, and through the rest of your Christian life to keep yourself close to the presence of the Lord. You see, we take things for granted in a church that's filled with the Holy Ghost. We think in every church that you can sense His presence. But let me tell you, it's not everywhere. It's not everywhere. But thank God when He's here and you're in the presence of the Lord, I tell you what it'll do. It'll change your life. There's been times when I come in dry and dead and I didn't know what to do, but I tell you what it did. The presence of the Lord came in and that still small voice started speaking. And because of the presence of the shepherd, I became as David and said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Let me tell you what, not only do you see His possession in His view, the presence in His view, but you'll see also the providence in His view. Look what He said in verse number 2 and verse number 3. In the last part of verse number 2, He said, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." Verse number 3, it says, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Let me tell you who's leading you this morning. It's the providential hand of God. You see, some of you had come into this church and you was dry. You come from a dead church. You came from a dry church that once was going, and they turned from the Word of God and they began to dry up on the pew. And then the providential hand of God came into your life and swept you back into this church. And now you're sitting here in the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you, God has a providential plan for each one of us. And it's for us to seek that providential plan. You see, God's going out before it. I'll get to this later, but let me tell you what He's doing. The shepherd always goes out before the sheep. You see, the shepherd never drives the sheep. You know what he does? He leads them. He always leads them. And let me tell you, that if you're in the front and He's leading, guess what? There ain't nowhere you can go that He ain't already been. There ain't nowhere you can go He ain't already been. Now, I got an illustration. I don't got a string, but if I did, I'd use it. But let me tell you what an old man of God taught me. And I was in Bible college. This is what he taught me. He said this. He laid a string out on the table. He said, "Look here, I can take this string and I can go make it, and that string will go wherever my finger goes. But," he said, "if I get behind it and I start pushing it, it don't go anywhere." Let me tell you what this good shepherd's doing. He's out in front of the sheep. He's clearing the path. He's getting rid of the dangers. He's getting rid of putting you in a safe place. He's putting you in a satisfying place. And He's making the way safe for the sheep to follow behind Him. Thank God for the providential hand of God. I got this. It said, "Those that feed on God's goodness must follow in His direction. He leads them by His providence, by His word, by His spirit, disposes of their affairs for the best. According to His counsel, disposes their affections and actions. According to His command, directs their eye, their way, their heart into His love." Let me tell you what, the providential hand of God has brought you into this place. This ought to be a sacred place for you. Not here to worship a building, but I'll tell you who we're here to worship. We're here to gather together as assembly to worship the chief shepherd. And when He's appearing and His presence is in here, let me tell you, the providential hand of God will take you further because He'll give you light. Not only you see that His providence, you'll see His passion. Look in verse number 3 there. He said, "He restoreth my soul." Yes. David was a man that had to be restored. Yes. David was a man that fell. David was a man much like me and you. You see, sometimes we feel like the other people in the Bible don't go through the same thing we did. But let me tell you, David did. He went through the same things we did. We know David fell. But let me tell you, before he even fell, he was writing, "He restoreth my soul." See, this is what he said in Psalm chapter 42 and verse number 11. He said this, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Let me tell you what that word "cast down" is. That's a sheep term, cast down. You see, sheep are helpless animals. That's why God named us as sheep. He could have chose anything that He wanted to and named us, but He called us sheep. Let me tell you what happens to a sheep. You see, when a sheep gets away from the shepherd, it can fall down. It can get stuck in the mud. It also, I was reading after one man, this is what he said. He said, "You'll find a sheep that gets fat, and he gets happy, and he'll lay down on the grass in the green pastures, and he'll begin to lay down, and he'll roll over on his back." And you know what happens? That word "cast down" means that the sheep can't get back up. It's been cast down. And let me tell you what will have to happen, or that sheep will die. The good shepherd will have to come by and pick that sheep up and set it back up on its path. or else it'll just malnourish itself. It'll go in such a frantic because it can't get back up. It'll begin to panic. It began to kick its feet because it can't do anything. But let me tell you what that shepherd will do. He'll go out there every day. He'll look out over his flock. He'll say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Where's the sixth one? I better go figure out where the sixth one is. And I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll leave the 99 in the wilderness to go after that one that's lost. And when he finds that sheep that's cast down, David knew what it's like to be cast down. He said, he restoreth my soul. And he'd go down in the shepherd and would pick him up and bring him back up into the fellowship of God, bring him back into communion. You'll see the shepherd in his view. Not only will you see the shepherd in his view, in verse 4, you'll see the shepherd in his valley. If you look down in verse 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You see, David knew that the shepherd would not only be in his view, but he'd also be in his valley. See, there may be somebody in here this morning that's walking through the biggest valley of their life. Let me tell you this. He said, I'll walk through it. He said he wasn't going to bring you up there to leave you in front of it, and then you worry about it the rest of your life. He didn't say he was going to leave you in it, and you just never get out of it. Let me tell you what he said. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let me tell you what he's doing. He's a shepherd in your valley. David had to learn this. David said, though the death be raging all around me, though there be dangers all around me, guess what? The hand of the shepherd will get me through this valley. You know what David did? There'd be times that he walked through a valley and he looked back and he said, he got me through that one. He'll get me through this one. Some of you walking through a valley this morning, you don't know which way's out. And God will do this for you. He'll put people in your path that's walked through that same valley that you have. And you'll say, if they can make it through that valley, I can make it through this valley. You see, there's been valleys that new valleys for me that I didn't think I was ever going to get out of. But let me tell you, I could look on some of you and the valleys that you'd walked through and how the great shepherd had got you out of that valley, and I could see he'd get me out of this one. And there's been times that I'd walked through a valley and I didn't know how I was going to get out, but I'd look back and I said, he got me out of it before and he'll get me out of it again. Thank God he's a shepherd in our valley. I want you to see this. You'll see there's consolation in the valley. He said, though I walk through it, he's not going to leave you in it. We're heading to a place. We're heading to the city where the builder and maker is God this morning. There's great consolation in the valley. Not only is there consolation in the valley, there's courage in the valley. He said this, I will fear no evil. There's courage in the valley because of the shepherd. Not only is there courage in the valley, there's a companion in the valley. He said, thou art with me. And I can tell you there this morning, you may be in the valley and you may not know your way out, but let me tell you who's with you. You got a companion by your side. And I tell you who it is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never leave you cast and downtrodden. Paul figured out in all his persecutions that God was still with him. And let me tell you why Paul was able to endure. Why he was able to endure? Because he knew the Lord Jesus Christ himself was there with him. He's by his side. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Not only you'll see he's a companion, he's a comfort. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That rod there is talking about his strength. It's talking about his power. It's talking about his authority. Let me tell you, God's got a great rod. This right here is the same thing he's talking about. This word of God is the power. It's the strength. It's the final authority, the rod. He said also, thy staff. That staff is his loving kindness, his tender mercies. You see, that staff is what he'd take the sheep. And when that sheep had got stuck in the mud or that sheep had messed up, you know what he'd do? He'd take the crook of that staff and he'd raise that sheep right out of there. There's been times that I find myself stuck in the mud, stuck out in the dirt of this world, stuck out in things that God never intended me to. There's been times I've been stuck spiritually. Been stuck spiritually. And let me tell you what he'd do. He'd take that staff and he'd take that crook and he'd grab me and he'd pull me out of it. Not only was it not only to pull you out, but let me tell you what also it'd do. It was for guidance. You know what the shepherd do? Whenever the shepherd was taking those sheep into a new place and they didn't know what to do and they'd never been there before, they wasn't familiar with that territory, he'd take that staff and he'd guide them. He'd lay it gently on their back and nudge them to go in the right direction. How many times has a shepherd done that to us, where he took his staff and we didn't know which way to go? We didn't know which way was up and we didn't know which way was down. But let me tell you what happened. The staff of the shepherd, you felt it on your back and he nudged you. This ain't the rod, this is the staff. And he just nudged you in the right direction and give you some guidance, give you some direction in the way you should go. Thank God for the shepherd this morning. Thank God he's the shepherd not only in our view, he's a shepherd in our valley. I want to go on through. The next thing I want you to see is the shepherd and his vitality. And I've been waiting to get right here. Look down in verse number 5. He said, "Thou." This is a very interesting verse. We see him walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And then verse 5, he says this, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup running over. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." That's a very interesting verse right there found in verse number 5. Right after he said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," he said, "You've given me a table." And I looked up that word and was reading after a man. This is what he said. He said that word table is a shepherd word. It's talking about a table land. You see, what had happened was as the sheep would go through and there'd be snow on top of the mountains, he'd lead them down into the valley to get them down there where it was warmer and get them down there where the grass was growing, get them down there where there was cool waters, you know. And then he said this. He said, when the sheep was down there in the pasture, the shepherd himself would go out before him and he'd go into a tableland. It's a higher place. It's a plateau. It's a place where he could prepare them for the next go-run. And he'd go up before the sheep. And the Spanish word is mesa. And what they'd do is he'd look out over that place and he'd find them green pastures. And while the sheep was still back there, he was out in front of them and he was preparing it. You know what he was doing? He was leaving a place where they could live. You see, the shepherd was all in his vitality. See, the shepherd knew where David needed to get to where he could live in. See, David had him in his view. He knew he was in his valley. But when he got to his vitality, he knew it was his life. You see, that shepherd was going out for him before to live. You see this in verse 4, he's talking about death. In verse number 5, he's talking about life. You see, in God's thing, this thing works backwards. See, you got to die so you can live. You see, in God's economy, you got to die so you can live. You see, in verse 4, he's talking about death. Verse 5, he's talking about living. He said, the shepherd is going out in front of me. He's arranging things only that he can arrange. He's setting a path that we can take it. And he's setting a path by not only the path that it's a new path, but it's a path that the shepherd's already been up there doing it. He's already been down that road. It's not a new path to the shepherd. It may be a new path to the sheep, but it's not a new path to the shepherd. And it brings life. He said this in verse number... Let me tell you, you'll see the shepherd in his preparation. You see, it's the same thing I was thinking about in the book of Ruth. You remember in the book of Ruth what he was talking about? Ruth was out gleaning in the field. And let me tell you what had happened. Old Boaz said, my favor's with her. You know what he began to do? He began to drop handfuls of purpose. Let me tell you what the shepherd's doing for you this morning. He's going ahead of you. You know what he's dropping? He's dropping handfuls of purpose along your way. He's dropping down some grace. He's dropping down some mercy. He's dropping down some long-suffering. He's dropping down some gentleness, some kindness, some love, some joy, some peace. And he's dropping it in your path so you can pick it up. Each time you step into this building, each time a preacher preaches, you know what he's doing? He's dropping handfuls of purpose down to you by only that the shepherd could give you. Let me tell you, that shepherd, when he's up in his vitality, he's passing things out. And let me tell you what you got to do. You got to receive it. You see, that shepherd, they told me, I was reading in that book, and this is what it said. He said that shepherd would go out there and he'd pull out all the harmful stuff. See, there'd be poisonous weeds up there that little sheep were to get. It caused him to be paralyzed the rest of his life. Let me tell you what the shepherd was doing. He was going up into that tableland, and he was preparing that place for him, and he was picking out all the poisonous weeds. He's putting out some fertilizer, getting it prepared for when that winter was over, that sheep would come right back into green pastures, and they could lie down beside the still waters. Let me say this. Not only you see it was the preparation, but let me tell you, anywhere there's preparation, there's always predators. He said, thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Let me tell you, there's always predators. I was reading after one man, and he said this. He said, the most deadliest thing to a sheep It's not only the coyotes, not only the bears, not only the wolves, not only the lions, but it said the flies. The flies were deadly to the sheep. He said the most deadliest fly that you could have is the nasal fly to the sheep. And as that sheep would go in, and that season of flies would come on, you know, and again to warm up, he said those flies would go up in the nose of the sheep and they'd lay their larvae there. And he said when those larvae hatched, they'd go on up in that sheep's nose and they'd burrow down into the flesh and become cause irritations all throughout that sheep's head. And it said that the sheep would get so irritated that they'd beat their head on the ground. They'd beat their head on rock. They'd do anything to get those flies out of their nasal cavity. Let me tell you this. He said not only the flies would cause it. He said there would be scabs. There would be scabs. There's a disease called scabs. And if one sheep in that flock were to get the scab disease, the sheep are loving animals. And what they do is they come and they rub heads on each other. And as they rub heads on each other, if they had that scab disease, they'd spread it. And if it wasn't taken care of, if it wasn't cured, it would go throughout the whole flock. And it would destroy the whole flock. But let me tell you this. And this is where I want to get to this morning. You'll see that thou anointest my head with oil. You know what that shepherd would do? He'd see that fly. Get in there and he'd watch for those flies, and when he knew those flies were there, he'd see it and he'd take notice of it. And he'd see when the scab disease was there, he'd take notice of it. And let me tell you what he'd do. He'd be in the back making an antidote. He'd make some oil. And let me tell you what he'd do. He'd take that oil and he'd rub it on that sheep. And that sheep, as soon as he got that oil, you know what it'd do? It'd make those flies go away. As soon as he got that oil, it'd make those scabs go away. And let me tell you, when I was weak, God came through with his oil. And he anointed me. And he said, here you go. And there's a healing process involved with that. But let me tell you, you may be here and you may be weak. Let me tell you, he's got the oil. You may be here and you're weary. He's got the oil. You may be here and you're wounded. And you may be bleeding out. Let me tell you what he's got. He's got oil for you here this morning. You may be out wayward. You may be way out yonder this morning. Let me tell you what he's got. He's got oil. And he's ready to rub it all over you and anoint you with it, you know, to bring you back into communion, to bring you back into fellowship. Thank God for his oil. You see, he had a prescription. Anywhere there's predators, there's always a prescription. You see, God doesn't always, he don't leave us to ourselves. Thank God we've got a shepherd that's looking out for us, who's leading the way. And lastly this morning, you'll see the shepherd in his vitality. Lastly, you'll see the shepherd in his victory. Verse number 6, he says this. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me tell you, the shepherd wasn't only in his view. He wasn't only in his valley. He wasn't only in his vitality or his living. Let me tell you what he was in. He was in his victory. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm telling you, everywhere you go, you got two things following you. You got some goodness following you. You got some mercy. See, goodness is God giving us things we don't deserve. Mercy is him keeping us from things we do deserve. Thank God he's kept us from a lot of things. See, I ought to be in hell this morning, my back broke. But God, through his mercy, he reached down in his loving and kindness. And he's brought me out and he took that staff that he had. And he took that shepherd's crook and he's pulled me out of it. And thank God he's rubbed some oil in my wounds. And then I'm standing here this morning thanking God that my cup runneth over. I got joy unspeakable and full of glory because of his oil. And because of his goodness and mercy following me all the days of my life. Everywhere I go, there's two men bumping into me. Goodness and mercy. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy this morning. You see, that we have a privileged position. You see, when God saved you, he gave you some things that you didn't deserve. He gave you some benefits. The psalmist David said in Psalm 103, he said, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all this with me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Let me tell you, you got a benefit package when you got saved. You say, well, I got a 401k at where I work at, or a 403b, or whatever all these plans are. But let me tell you what, it don't compare to his. You see, this world may step in and take everything I got. I may not have a house tomorrow. I may not have a job tomorrow. I may not have a wife tomorrow. I may not have a son tomorrow. But let me tell you what I do got. I got a benefit package that outweighs the weight of this world. And we all rejoice this morning that we got a benefit package. And let me tell you, it's signed, sealed, and delivered. No man can take it away. No man can pluck you out of his hand. Thank God he gave us a benefit package. You're in a privileged position this morning to be called a son of God. Not only that, you're going to a perfect place. He said this in the last part of that verse. He said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me tell you where we're going. We're going to a perfect place. It's a place that Paul wrote it this way. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 52, he's talking about this. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruption shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass this saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, there is victory for the Christian. You may be here and you're saying it ain't worth it. Let me tell you, it's worth every mile. It's worth everything you had to pay. It's worth every time you served Him. Let me tell you, He's got a victory for the Christian. David said this. He said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me tell you, it's permanent. It's a sign place. It's a place we don't have to pay for. It's a place that all you have to do is come and receive. Thank God for His place, His victory that He gives us for His perfect place. Let me tell you also this. It's a place where there'll be no sin. It's a place where there'll be no sorrow. It's a place that'll be no sickness. It'll be a place of no Satan. It'll be a place of no disease. It'll be a place of no difficulties. It'll be a place of no distractions. It'll be a place of no diseases. But it'll be a place of no death. Thank God for the shepherd this morning. You see, He is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Let me tell you, you may be here and think you're walking all alone. Let me tell you what you got. You got a companion that's down in the valley with you. And let me tell you, when you couldn't even walk, let me tell you what's happening. He's a toting you through. So you're going through this thing. Psalmist David learned that in his life. The shepherd in his view, the shepherd in his valley, the shepherd in his vitality, the shepherd in his victory. If you don't have any victory here this morning, you can get it. You see, God's got some oil He can anoint you with. And He'll cover you with it. And with those flies and the scabs that got on you, and where the world's touched you, let me tell you what there is. There's some oil this morning. Thank y'all for your attention.